So there I was, March 2020, fully packed and prepared to travel the world. The plan was glorious, border hopping adventures. My reality, the planet went into lockdown, and I ended up quarantined on Brigantine Beach in New Jersey, watching the waves roll in like they had answers. I had already given up my apartment in New York because nothing screams unstoppable woman in control of her destiny, quite like becoming voluntarily homeless 1 week before a global shutdown. So, like the rest of humanity, I waited. 2.5 months of pacing, Zoom fatigue, and wondering if sourdough starter counted as emotional support. I spent the time talking to other realtors, trying to figure out my next move in a world where the next move was just code for another walk around the block. And then one day it hit me. If I couldn't travel globally, I'd travel locally. And that included 23 states worth of locally. There was just one tiny little problem. I didn't own a car. So in May, I set out to buy my very first one, test driving like a classic New Yorker who had spent her adult life avoiding all contact with personal vehicles. Eventually, I landed on a Kia, and because branding is forever, I named it Karen's Kia. It was my first car, my pandemic steed, my four-wheeled emotional support system. The car deserved a name. So my journey started up in the Finger Lakes, where spring was quietly doing its thing and I was trying to remember how to be around trees. Then came Lake Erie, which was both beautiful and moody, like if a body of water had seasonal depression. From there, I made my way to Boston, which even in the middle of a pandemic, the drivers were hostile, which was oddly comforting. It's nice to know some things never die, like Boston's collective road rage. After narrowly escaping that, I swung back down to New York City. Driving from the top of Manhattan to the bottom took me 10 minutes. Now that is not a typo, 10 minutes. The city was empty, haunting, like I'd stepped into some dystopian remake of Home Alone, but with fewer burglars and more PPE. Then came Washington, D.C., which felt like someone had unplugged the nation's capital. Beautiful monuments, empty streets, and a silent tension hanging in the air like a filibuster about to happen. Then came Wilmington, North Carolina, a charming, slower pace that made me think, oh, this is what breathing feels like. Charleston followed, where I parked on King Street. Normally, that would require a blood pact and divine intervention, but the city was deserted. I wandered cobblestone streets alone, like I was in some PBS historical drama where all the extras quit. Then came Savannah, and then finally Tybee Island, where I had originally planned to head south to Florida. But as I sat there with the Atlantic in front of me, sun on my face, and exactly zero people around to question my decisions, I made a game time choice to turn right instead. That spontaneous pivot sent me to Atlanta, then to Chattanooga and Nashville, cities that normally pulse with music and nightlife, but now felt like the country had pressed pause. Broadway in Nashville, a place where you usually can't breathe without bumping into someone's cousin on a bachelorette trip, was empty. No live music, no crowds, just silence and closed doors. It was like sneaking into a theme park after closing hours. Equal parts eerie and magical. Then came Memphis, where I went full send and stayed at the penthouse at Graceland. Yes, that Graceland. Yes, black glitter wallpaper. Yes, TVs over the bed. Yes, Elvis kitsch so thick it could be declared a historical landmark. I met the kind of people who make you laugh until your face hurts and leave you wondering whether that was real or just the wallpaper talking. From there, I briefly dipped into Mississippi, just for the badge, really. Then passed through Arkansas, Dallas, and Amarillo. At Cadillac Ranch, I spray-painted one of the famous cars, completing my descent into full-blown Americana absurdity. And through all this, I wasn't just aimlessly wandering. I was connecting. You see, I'm a realtor, a very connected one. And I had people following my journey on social media like it was a one-woman, four-wheeled reality show. Every time I posted my next city, someone would pop up, "Let's meet." So I did. Masked and as careful as I could be, and usually 6 feet apart, we would meet. They took photos with Karen's Kia because why not? That car was practically a celebrity by the end. And even now, people still bring it up like it was a shared fever dream. Now, by the time I got to Colorado, I was pretty convinced that was going to be it. Mountains, peace, closure. And then a friend offered me a timeshare in Park City, Utah, and I figured, why not detour one more time? So I went. Day one, I walked into a nail salon. Day two, I met some New Yorkers. Day three, I bought a condo. Yes, I bought a home 48 hours after arriving in a town I had only visited once before, very briefly. Because that's what you do when the world's upside down and you've driven through its quietest version. You make bold decisions, or irrational ones, or maybe the boldest decisions are the ones that look irrational from the outside. So now when people ask how I ended up in Park City, I tell them the truth. I drove across the country without a plan. I visited 23 states, met 85 realtors, posed for countless photos with a Kia named Karen, stayed in an Elvis shrine, and let a nail salon conversation change the trajectory of my life. And if I ever write a book about it, and I probably should, I'm calling it Hindsight is 2020, because of course it is.